Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lindsay Williams, and he's going to talk about a member of the elite who has recently come forward and giving him additional information on what's going on. Now, of course, you know, in the past, wireless Lindsay has forwarded to us some of the information he'd gotten from Ken Fromm, who is president of ARCO when he retired from, and basically, of course, Ken Fromm was part and parcel of the elite. And Ken had told Lindsay a lot of things about 4 years ago when, of course, they first retouched. They'd been fairly close for many years, and then basically Ken Fromm was actually fired because it allowed Lindsay Williams to learn about the massive pool of oil off the North Slope of Alaska. And so Ken had actually written a couple of chapters in Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And I guess the elite decided they could do two things, that he could have Fromm killed or bring him back into the fold and promote him, which is what they did. And because of that, why Fromm did not speak to Lindsay for the better part of 30 years. And then just about 4 years ago, why, of course, Fromm called again and told he'd been instructed to tell Lindsay to stop talking about that massive pool of oil off the North Slope of Alaska, or there'd be serious consequences for Lindsay and his family. And Lindsay, of course, agreed to that. But then Ken Fromm, they began chatting, and Ken told Lindsay a lot of things. I remember, of course, I'd called Lindsay at that time and said, "Lindsay, why did you take down your website? Why is your book not for sale on the internet?" And he told me this story, and that he had had to make an agreement to take down his website. He had had to make arrangements to promise that he would not continue talking about the massive oil pool off this North Slope of Alaska, and that he would withdraw his book for sale. So, in fact, he even gave me the opportunity to sell it. And I said, "Look, if they're making that sort of an offer to you, and an offer you can't refuse, I certainly don't want to be selling that book myself." Be that as it may, through the years, why Ken Fromm continued contacting Lindsay, or Lindsay would contact Ken, and the information he was getting was really very, very important. One of the things that Ken Fromm said, and this was about 4 years ago, that by the end of the year 2012, the dollar would be dead. And, of course, also talking about, of course, what was happening in the monetary system, how the elite used gold and silver. That was their medium of exchange. The paper that we were using wasn't worth the paper it was recorded on. But he made a number of other very astute observations. One of them was that there would be a war with Iran, but it was going to be sometime in the future, 2.5-3 years from then. And basically, of course, maybe the figure was about a few months ago. It hasn't come about, but everything points to the fact we're going to have a war. Lindsay, thank you so very much for being with us. Lindsay Williams, are you there?
I said it's such a privilege to be with you tonight, and I thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and I just hope you'll bring us up to date with what you're learning from this new gentleman who's giving you information. I know you still have other contacts as well, but we want to know what you're hearing. So hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I know you always have new listeners, so you've done such a marvelous job of bringing people up to date. But just very quickly, number of years ago, I had the privilege of being invited by the elite of the world to be their chaplain for 3 years. And as Dr. Stan has said, some of these people kept in touch with me over the years. And for the past 35 years, every time any one of them has ever said anything, it has happened exactly as they said it. And I've had the privilege of appearing on Dr. Stan's program so many times and telling what one of these elitists might have told me. Well, 1 year ago, approximately this time of year, Mr. Ken Fromm passed away. As Dr. Stan just mentioned, he was a person that had given me so much information. There is still an individual that I call Mr. X, and fortunately, I am so glad that it happened that way, that Dr. Stan one day asked me, he said, Lindsay, can I really prove that all of this is true? And back before this gentleman ceased to talk to radio talk show hosts, I actually gave Dr. Stan his phone number. He called him on the phone, did talk with him briefly, and now this individual's in his 70s. He's retired. His children are grown, they have left home, and he has a wife, and he's getting very concerned. And I'm amazed how concerned this gentleman is, mainly because of his own family. So I'm going to ask everyone there in the listening audience to please do me a favor tonight. Will you please get a pencil and paper? There are going to be some statements and predictions made in this program that you have never heard before. I will prove them to you, give you the background to them, and these are things that have come my way just within the past days. It is amazing that some of the elite themselves are becoming so concerned. Now, I'll give you a few of these statements, and then I'll go on to prove them in the time that we have in the program. First of all, recently it has been told me when the financial collapse will take place. Now, I know this sounds startling, and you remember that I have for months said it's not going to happen yet. It's not time yet. The elite are not ready. Well, I'll go into that in a moment or two. Now, secondly, an item that's come up just recently that is amazing, and when you hear the background to this, you'll put all the pieces together by what you've heard on the news. Why Obama may not be reelected. I mean, this is much to our advantage. And he has really angered the elite. And I think there was a
hold that thought. Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Lindsay has basically talked about the information he's getting from one of the members of the elite, who I do know what his name is. He's called Mr. X now, but I have talked to him personally, and he is legitimately, certainly was very close to the centers of power, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Probably not a member of the upper echelon like Mr. Fromm, but certainly well aware and well connected within the Brotherhood. And basically, of course, Lindsay has said that we are going to have an economic collapse, but not yet. And then, of course, you go right ahead with Lindsay.
You notice the wording that I used on this last phrase, and that was, why Obama may not. Please notice those words carefully. Why Obama may not be reelected. And then, recently, I've also been given some very startling items that were secrets of the elite. And I'll give you those tonight. Again, the Keystone Pipeline. Oh, this is so important, and I can't stress enough.
This is the pipeline that runs from the Alberta tar sands down, of course, to the Gulf of Mexico that Obama has vetoed. And, of course, this is absolutely essential to get the price of oil down, of course, to bring those massive oil deposits from Canada into the United States. But, of course, you have to understand that Obama doesn't want us in our cars. They were intentionally going to drive up the cost of gasoline and gasoline products here in the United States. But he can't tell the American people that. People don't like paying $4 a gallon for gasoline, $5 over in Paris now. It's $10 a gallon. And chances are it's going to go up much higher to $6, $7. $5 a gallon here in the next couple of years because of Obama's policies. All the time he's going to tell us, oh, we've got to come up with alternative sources of energy. Why, of course, we need wind and solar. We need a lot more electric cars, but of course nobody ever asks, where does electricity for electric cars come from? Why, it comes from burning either coal or gas. Go ahead.
Why Mr. Obama canceled out on the Keystone Pipeline is what is so important. And I will give you that tonight exactly as my elitist friend told it to me. And then there's another item that's been given to me just recently. What currency you need to get into immediately? Now, this is so important, and we'll give it toward the end of the program. What currency you need to get into immediately in light of what the elitists have planned. So tonight, I hope you have those pencils and paper handy. We'll write down these things, put them beside your calendar, and then check them off as you see them happen. Because every time for the past 35 years that these elitists have given me information, it has never failed to happen just like they gave it. So you can count on this also. I beg of you, please listen to my concerned elitist friend. He's past 70. He's concerned about his children and family. I've never seen him this way before, and I've been talking to him on a regular basis. He is so concerned that you need to know, basically, if we must do something immediately, or America will be doomed. There is time, definitely, and it is much to our advantage, the fact that the financial collapse has not taken place yet. Now, just within the past few weeks, a Wall Street insider. Now, I'm going to give you his name in a moment. So, again, I hope you have those pencils and paper handy so you can write it down. There was a Wall Street insider, a man who was on Wall Street for many years. He said to me one day, he said, Chaplain, I could walk out my front door and look up at the Twin Towers before they were destroyed. This man is an older gentleman. He was very much into the Wall Street scene, and he became so concerned about the corruption in Wall Street until he said, I can't stay there any longer. Well, I was put in touch with him back about a year ago. We've had many conversations, and we were comparing notes and found out that he saw and learned on Wall Street exactly what I saw when I was on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. He heard some of the same information from the elite that I had heard back in those days, and just recently he said, okay, Lindsay, I think it's time for me to be able to give some of this out. And he has agreed to appear on camera with me and tell his entire story. You will find it one of the most fascinating stories you've ever heard, apart from my story itself. Now, so that you can check him out, as you know, in the past, in my book, Energy Non-Crisis, for many years, I only called my people Mr. X, because I had to protect them until the time that they were retired and were out of the mainstream. And then, of course, when Mr. Fromm passed away, when he died about a year ago, I actually told you his name. Well, this Wall Street insider has given me permission to use his name. You go check it out. You will find out that this man was there in the very top echelon and now for the first time has been willing to appear on camera and tell his story. And when you compare it, you'll find it's almost identical to the story that I found when I was at Prudhoe Bay. His name is Tom Fowler, F-Y-L-E-R. And at this point, I'm going to have to tell you that I told you so. I don't like using that expression, but I bear with me a moment, and you'll understand why I'm saying it. Back about last September, October, and Dr. Stan, I had the privilege of being on your show back then, and so it's in the archives of your program. I said, the elite have told me that there's not going to be a financial collapse October, November, and December. It won't happen. Nearly every newsletter writer out there was saying, collapse, collapse, collapse. Financial system's coming to an end. Whenever Greece falls, the European Union is falling. Well, I went back to my elitist friend again in December, and I said, when is the financial collapse going to take place? And again, he said, Chaplain, it's not time yet. So I came on your program, I believe it was in December or January, Dr. Stan, And I said, there is not going to be a financial collapse in January, February, and March. And I had to apologize to my newsletter writers, friends, because they were all saying, we're going to have a financial collapse in January and February, and all the Ides of March will definitely get us. And then every single newsletter writer that I know of said, once Greece defaults, the euro will collapse, the American dollar will have problems. And Greece did. Yes, Greece, everything but declared bankruptcy. For all practical purposes, it happened. And it didn't collapse the countries, the currencies of the world. Now, I'm going to have to tell you that I told you so, because that's exactly what my elitist friends said, and I'll make another prediction right now. You're not going to have a financial collapse in March, April, or May, and probably not in June. It is going to happen. Yes, there positively is going to be a financial collapse, and I will tell you in a moment to what my elitist friends said when the financial collapse will take place, but it has not taken place yet. It took place exactly as they want. It will take place just exactly as they want it. And why hasn't it happened? I told you this back about last October or November. My elitist friend had said, we want to create massive debt in every country in the world. Greece is just the beginning. It's going to go to Italy, then to France, many other countries, America, $15 trillion plus. And on and on it goes, the elite are intentionally holding off on the financial collapse until they can create such massive debt in this world that once they do allow the collapse to take place, every country in the world, they can immediately step in and say, your currency has failed. You'll have to take our new world order and our new world currency because you have no choice. Now, you remember the expression that Mr. Fromm and others gave me before he passed away, the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Don't pay any attention to the stock market. It is not an indicator of anything, but there is something you need to pay attention to very carefully. And I still hold to what I have said before. The dollar will be dead, not non-existent, but the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012, and I'd like to show you three things that have happened just within the past 2 months that has signaled the death of the dollar. Think about them. You heard them in the news. Maybe you recognized just how important they were. First of all, China and Japan, approximately 2 months ago, signed the largest trade agreement that has ever been signed in the history of the world, as far as anybody knows. They said, we will buy and sell and trade from each other, and we will not use the American dollar for purchases, trade, and payment of anything in our new trade agreement. That was the first time that the reserve currency of the world, the American dollar, there was a crack. And it began to show very much because now the world doesn't need our dollar anymore. Why has the dollar always been the reserve currency of the world, the petrodollar of the world? It's because the world needed it. They couldn't trade and sell in anything else. Nothing else was universally accepted by every country. Now China and Japan said about 2 months ago, no more dollars in our sale and trade. Then Iran and India. Oh, this is so important. We put all those sanctions on Iran. The European Union put sanctions on Iran. The UN put sanctions on Iran. And Iran was in a mess. Iran is the fourth largest oil-producing country in the world. They supply approximately 3.5 million barrels of crude oil every day. What are they going to do with it if they can't use the American dollar to sell it to other countries? So the European Union came along and said, after June the 1st, no European Union country is allowed to buy oil from Iran. The United States came along and said, you can't use the American dollar for the purchase and sale and trade of Iranian oil. Well, India stepped up and said, well, we need that oil. India's economy is growing so rapidly. They said, we will buy it from you. But Iran said, I can't sell it to you because I can't use the American dollar. India said, no problem. We'll be glad to pay you in gold. I hope you caught that. Do you realize that the American dollar now is not going to be used in a million barrels of crude oil every 24 hours from Iran that is going to India? and they're paying them.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
And India is going to pay Iran in gold. We, as America, have shot ourselves in the foot. Our dollar is losing its world status so rapidly that I have no doubts whatsoever that my elitist friends were correct whenever they said that the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. And now India and Iran, no American dollar needed, will pay you in gold. Oh, what a mess we put ourselves. Oh, then the latest. Here it is. You may have caught it on the news. You've only heard it a time or two. Go look it up for yourself. Saudi Arabia. Yes, Saudi Arabia. We receive more crude oil from Saudi Arabia than any other one country in the world. That's not the only country we get it from, but is our biggest oil supplier. Saudi Arabia just signed an agreement with China that they will build a refinery in China and supply China with crude oil from Saudi Arabia, and they will not use the American dollar for the trade and the sale of that crude oil. Are you getting the message? This has happened within 2 months' time, that the petrodollar is no longer needed. The world isn't going to need our money any longer. They won't need our T-bills from the Federal Reserve issues either. At that point, what's going to happen to the American dollar? The American dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Not non-existent, but as the world reserve currency, exactly as my latest friend said to me well over a year ago, and I had the privilege of being on Dr. Stan's show and saying it, the American dollar is dying very rapidly. Folks, you have a golden and wonderful window of opportunity right now to do something about what you need to do, anything that you need to do with the American dollar, with your paper. Now is the golden opportunity because the dollar is still strong. It still has purchasing power. And anything that you can afford to do and have the currency to do, you need to do it because the dollar is falling very rapidly. Now, I want to answer the question that I posed earlier that my elitist friend said to me, and I do have full intentions in giving it all to you. Here it is. When will the financial collapse take place? In order to give this, I want to refer back again to Mr. Tom Fowler. Mr. Tom Fowler says, and you'll hear it right in my new DVD series, The Secrets of the Elite. Mr. Tom Fowler said that he heard this identical same thing on Wall Street that I was hearing from others as to when you will know that the financial collapse will take place. The Wall Street Insider. And on our new DVD series, Secrets of the Elite, you will actually find his phone number. You will be able to call him and talk to him personally about what he has to say and verify some of the things that I have been telling you. But he saw the identical same thing from Wall Street that I saw, that I'm hearing from my elite, but in a different perspective. And here is basically the sign. Don't pay any attention to the New York stock market. It means nothing. The stock market is not an indicator of anything. The stock market and its plunge protection team is totally controlled. And I used to watch the stock market and say, oh, the stock market went down today. So many points. Oh, my goodness, it collapsed. I don't pay any attention to that anymore. It means nothing. Again, the euro.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. First, Lindsay was just talking about the fact that the dollar is becoming less and less relevant. Certainly the dollar for many years has been the reserve currency of the world. Certainly it's just as the British pound was the currency of the world up until probably the Second World War. But now the dollar is the dominant, or has been the dominant currency. But of course, increasingly countries are beginning to move away from payment of debt. and purchase of oil and other items with the dollar. And India now is using gold in their exchange with Iran. Other countries are paying Iran in gold as they've worked out currency arrangements between China and India and China and Russia, where they'll use their local owned currencies to move away from the dollar. So the dollar certainly is going to lose its status as the reserve currency of the world. And when that happens, it's going to be disastrous as far as anything you have, of course, that is denominated in dollars. Then, of course, and I'm talking about your pension fund, I'm talking about your insurance policies, I'm talking about your annuities, your bonds, your savings accounts, anything that you have that's denominated in dollars, it will be suddenly rapidly lose value at that time. The other thing is, of course, when is the collapse going to come? So go ahead and pick up the story there. And certainly Lindsay says he's heard this statement from his friends, and he also heard it from this gentleman, Mr. Tom Filer, who has come to him from Wall Street and appears as a guest in Lindsay's latest DVD, an older man who wants to alert the American people. He worked on Wall Street for years. He knows the plan. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
When I was asked years ago to be the chaplain to the elite and did for a three-year period, I considered it a privilege because I believe today that by the providence of God, I was there for the purpose of being able to be here on this radio show tonight and others like yours from time to time, because I can warn people and save them so many heartaches. And that's what I'm trying my best to do, is to help you know what it is that the elite have planned. There is nothing that ever happens by chance. Nothing ever happens by chance in the price of gasoline and crude oil. Nothing ever happens by chance with any bill that goes through Washington, D.C. Everything is by design. Every president of the United States of America since Mr. Ronald Reagan has been put in and trained by the elite. And one of the things that I learned when I lived with the elite those 3 years is they have a code of ethics. And one of the facets of that code of ethics is they must tell you everything they're going to do before they do it. Now, that code of ethics is quite different than Dr. Sands and my code of ethics, which is the Bible and the Word of God. But the elite have a code of ethics. And I'm going to give you what they are trying to tell you through their code of ethics, and then you will know how to know when the financial collapse is going to take place. Don't pay any attention to the stock market. It has nothing to do with the timing of the collapse that the elite are going to allow to be brought about. Don't pay any attention to the euro, the European Union currency. Yes. Now, I still go back to the statement that was made to me some while back by one of my elitist friends, that when the euro collapses, you have 2 to 3 weeks to get out of all paper, or you're going to lose it. That's 401ks, IRAs, your Federal Reserve notes, your bank account. If it is written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. But that will take place, it'll be too late then. If you wait until you see the euro crash, you're in big trouble. You need to know what the sign of the financial collapse is before it happens. Again, don't pay any attention to the price of crude oil. I know crude oil goes up and down, and Mr. Fromm said many things about watching crude oil, and I would know where the elite were in the process of what they were doing, but that still is not the most important thing. Keep something in mind. In 1929, at the time of the Great Depression, there were many people who made huge fortunes. Everyone did not stand in a soup line. There were many people who knew the Depression was coming. They knew what was going to take place. They made preparations for it, and they had the wherewithal to be able to purchase assets at that time, which later could make them great fortunes. You do not have to take a loss because of the financial collapse that's going to take place if you will listen to what they're going to do and take precautions now.
All right, fine. Well, Chris Lindsay, I hope you, when we get back, I hope you get into what, Sydney, how people will recognize when this whole house of cards is coming down. Ladies, it's coming down. The only question is when and how will you know when it's going to happen. Lindsay, you go right ahead.
There's one word that you need to write down in your notes. That word is derivatives. Now, I didn't even know what they were up until about a year ago. I had heard the word. I didn't have the slightest idea what the definition was. And when Mr. Tom Fowler and I compared notes with what I had been told by my Mr. X and what he sees on Wall Street today, you can know when the financial collapse is about to take place, not by the stock market, not by the euro, not by crude oil prices. You will know it according to the derivative market. Now, derivatives are very complicated financial instruments. And maybe you don't know what they are, but if you don't, please, you need to educate yourself on the term derivatives. There is no control over derivatives. Congress has tried over and over to pass some law controlling derivatives, and they've never been able to do it because the elitists have stepped in and they have seen to it that enough congressmen would not vote for it. There are positively no rules nor regulations on the subject of derivatives, and derivatives will be the key, the indicator. When the derivative market begins to crumble, you've had it. It's all over. And it'll happen before you see the stock market crash. It'll happen before you see the euro crash. It'll happen before you see certain things happen in crude oil. Derivatives will be the indicator that you can know when it begins to crumble, the derivative market, you must be out of all paper by that time. If you don't, you will lose it. And if you have any doubt as to what a derivative is, let me urge you. We take about a 25-minute segment in our new DVD series, Secrets of the Elite. And by the way, the first ones haven't even gone out yet. We finished the editing, and we're ready to begin production. They'll be going out next week, the first copies of this. I would urge you to place your order and be right ready to get the first ones. And in it, we've taken about 20 minutes. On the subject of derivatives, there are four people, you'll recognize them when you see them, very prominent people in the financial field who gathered together with me in the studio to make this new segment, and one of them took the subject of derivatives, and he did the greatest job of explaining what derivatives are that I have ever heard in my life.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirsten and Lindsay is basically saying that you'll know when the crash is coming because the derivative market will be beginning to crumble. Now, what are derivatives? Well, they're insurance policies on financial purchases. You buy a product, you buy a bond, and of course you expect to get paid back, but just in case you don't get paid back, you buy an insurance policy, and that's what a derivative is. But of course the major banks are writing these derivative contracts, but they're writing them without any funds to back them up. So we're talking about somewhere between 600 or 700 trillion and 1.25 quadrillion dollars in derivatives out there, their insurance policies with nothing behind them. And Lindsay is simply saying he's been told and confirmed by his friend, Mr. Tom Filer, that when the derivative market begins to crumble, at that point, when the whole house of cards comes down. Now, suddenly Lindsay's put together a new four DVD set. They will be available. Lindsay, would you like to tell people how they can get this new DVD set on the coming financial collapse?
Dr. Stan, thank you so very much for allowing me to do this. Please give our 800 number a call. The number is 1 1-888-799-6111 is our toll-free number, or you can go on the web if you'd like to www.prophecyclub.com, PROPHECYCLUB.com, or toll-free, 24 hours a day, operators are standing by, middle of the night, middle of the day, matters not, and our toll-free number, 888-799-6111. And by the way, you'll talk to an American operator whenever you call. You won't talk to a foreigner. Now, when you see and understand what these financial top financial people in America, four of them, that you will see their names. And Mr. Tom Fowler, by the way, gives his phone number. You will have the privilege of actually talking to a Wall Street insider. If you wish to give him a call, you can talk with him personally and verify many of the things that I'm saying and the things that you're hearing tonight about derivatives. Now, another subject I need to cover that's so important that my elitist friend went into just recently, and that is why Mr. Obama may not, and please notice those words, may not. I didn't say he positively isn't. Why Mr. Obama may not be reelected in November. Here's why. The Keystone Pipeline, a few moments ago, Dr. Stan was talking about it. I also mentioned it in the beginning. The Keystone Pipeline was to go from Alaska all the way across Canada, wind up at the United States of America. The elite must have it. Did you hear that? They must have it. Mr. Obama double-crossed the elite. And just after he canceled out on the Keystone Pipeline, I called, and this is the one you know, by the way, Dr. Stan, Mr. X that you've talked with on the phone. I called him, and I said, what is this with the Keystone Pipeline? Now, think back for a moment, and you'll pick up some pieces here. You remember that Mr. Obama said that he, on a certain date, he was going to announce what part that America would have or would have no part in the Keystone Pipeline. He did not announce it on that date. He waited 2 weeks to announce his decision about the Keystone Pipeline. It is so significant. And unless you talked with one of the elite, you'd never know why he waited 2 weeks. He waited 2 weeks, gave his decision. Well, when he finally gave his decision that America, he said, it is not to the advantage of Americans to have part in the Keystone Pipeline. Oh, that's the furthest thing in the world from the truth. Thousands of jobs would have been created by the Keystone Pipeline. Billions of dollars would have come into the American economy because of the Keystone Pipeline. And I knew that there was something wrong here. And I called up my elitist friend, whom you know, Dr. Stan, and I said, why did Mr. Obama cancel out on the Keystone Pipeline? Oh, my goodness, did he come apart. I mean, he didn't have any kind words whatsoever. And so let me give you some background, and then I'll tell you exactly what he said, but I'm going to hold off on telling you his exact words until I give this. On the North Slope of Alaska this past summer, now please, go on the Internet after the program tonight. Don't you change the dial right now, but after the program, you go on the Internet, and you look up Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, Liberty Rig, the largest oil drilling rig that's ever been built on the face of the earth. Was brought in on the flotilla this past summer to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, and it was put on Gull Island. You remember my book? There's a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Didn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. It's the only place on the face of the earth you'll find about the largest oil pool that's ever been discovered on the face of the earth. And for 35 years, nobody but my book ever let it out because it had been ordered classified material. And Mr. Fromm and I dared to put it in the book, and that's a story within itself. Now, they are drilling right now with that Liberty rig. They're going down over 40,000 feet. They know the pool of oil is there. It is supposed to come in probably towards the end of next summer, and they needed the Keystone Pipeline to bring that oil to market because it's the only way they can bring it. They can't take it, the oil, through the Arctic Ocean because it freezes over 9 months out of the year. They can't get around by Fort Wainwright. They can't take down the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline because it's over 35 years old, and it is worn so thin it won't carry the pressure of 2 million barrels of oil. Now, those of you who know about oil and you've ever been in the oil patch, you know that every so many days they must run a pig, they call it, down the oil pipeline in order to cut the paraffin off that is collected on the sides of the pipe, or it would actually close it up and it cuts down on the flow rate. So whenever that pig is run down, it's a big round ball with little things like razor blades all over it. And after 35 years, it has cut away at that pipe time after time that it's been run down it to the point that the pipe is so thin, they can't carry the oil necessary. And the state of Alaska will not allow them to build another pipeline down that corridor and bring the oil out. So that means the Keystone Pipeline was what the elite wanted, what they need in order to bring the oil to market. And Mr. Obama canceled out on it. And I called my elitist friend. He was livid. And I said, what in the world happened? Mr. Obama double-crossed the elite. I'm going to give you his exact words. Here they are. Now, you have those pencils and paper that I asked you to get earlier. Please write this down. My elitist friend said one expression whenever I said, why did Mr. Obama cancel out on the Keystone Pipeline? And he delayed for 2 weeks in doing it. That is significant. I said, why did he do it? And he said one thing. He is a Muslim. Now, I'm telling you his exact words. I'm not throwing off on anybody. I'm just telling you exactly what he said. And those were his exact words. He said, he is a Muslim. Folks, do you realize that Mr. Obama had delayed for 2 weeks in making his decision because many of the Muslim countries of the world, Saudi Arabia and others, had given literally millions of dollars to Mr. Obama's previous election campaign, and he was waiting for them to promise him millions and millions of dollars for his next campaign, and Mr. Obama double-crossed the elite in favor of his Muslim brothers. And as a result, today the elite are so angry at Mr. Obama. This is to our advantage, people. This is so exciting to me, and I hope it is to you, too. They are so angry with him, they may not allow him to be reelected in this November election. Now, wait a minute. You mean, Mr. William, Chaplain Williams, you're telling me that the presidency of the United States of America is controlled? You better believe it. Every single president since President Reagan has been put in by the will of the elite. And if Mr. Obama, if they did not want him in, all they would have to do is just smear him with the national liberal media a few times. And it's already happening. You remember the other day there was a bill put before Congress to impeach him? And then he's in trouble by something else he's done in the last few days. And more recently, I've seen pictures of him frowning instead of smiling on the front page of the newspaper when they have his picture out there. Mr. Obama is in big, big trouble with the elite. And because of that, he may not get reelected in this next campaign. And if for those of you who would like to see a change in the administration in Washington, D.C., this is very much to our advantage, and I am excited that he did what he did, even though I'm very sorry that we won't get the oil. But there was a reason for all of this hidden behind the scenes, and only when I contacted my elitist friend did I find out what the real story is. Now, very quickly, one other item I'd like to cover. What currency should a person get into immediately in light of what the elite know are going to happen? This is so important. You remember Mr. Fromm and others said to me, if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. The dollar has diminished in value to the point that its purchasing power is going down and down. It was told me that the currency of the elite is gold and silver. You need to understand something about gold and silver. Whenever you purchase gold and silver in order to protect the purchasing power of your investments, whenever you purchase gold and silver, you must purchase gold and silver minted by the United States Mint. Why? It is legal tender for payment of debt. The state of Utah just passed a law the other day stating that gold and silver must be accepted by the grocery store, the hardware store, the drug store, no matter what it is. They haven't found a way to implement it yet, but they said gold and silver must be accepted in payment for debt. Only gold and silver minted by the United States Mint. And there's one other thing you need to know in light of this. And again, please listen to my elitist friend so you'll understand and be protected and have food on your table when the New World Order steps in. You need, if at all possible, to buy pre-1933 gold minted by the United States Mint. Now, I don't sell gold and silver. Dr. Stan can tell you where to go for that. You couldn't buy an ounce from me if you tried. I'm trying to help you spare yourself heartache. Pre-1933 coins minted by the United States Mint in gold. Why? As you remember, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said the people in America can't own and hold gold anymore, and bullion and massive amounts of gold were collected. Then Americans were allowed to own gold again. But at the time they made it legal for Americans to own gold again, there was a law passed by Congress that any coin minted by the United States Mint in gold prior to 1933 could never be confiscated. If they decide they wanted to confiscate gold again, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt did, they cannot confiscate gold minted prior to 1933. The gold coins, the liberties, the eagles, and so on, and all silver coins, by the way, as long as a silver coin, is minted by the United States Mint, you know them as a silver dollar, and you can buy them at any gold dealers. Any silver coin minted by the United States Mint, regardless of what date is on it, it can be used for legal tender and payment of debt, but any gold coin minted prior to 1933 cannot, by law, be confiscated by the United States government. And I have been told to urge my people, folks who are willing to listen to me, you need to make preparations immediately in light of what is taking place with the elite and the fact of what's going to happen to the American dollar, Dr. Stan.
Well, I certainly think your advice is well-founded, and I think that what you're saying is absolutely true. We're in for a very real problem, and I really believe they're going to destroy the value of our currency. There is no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the monetary system, and there really are people in key positions in government who want to destroy the United States. And if you doubt that, you need to read the Earth Charter written by Mikhail Gorbachev, by Marie Strong, and by Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, the Earth Charter. You need, of course, to read Agenda 21, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is available from at least a summary from Radio Liberty. It's all part of a plan. Agenda 21 is the secret agenda of the elite for the 21st century. It is published, but the average American has never heard of it, although I would say that the state of Tennessee, within the last week, the legislature voted to condemn Agenda 21, and that information has been totally blocked out across America. Why would they block it out? Why, they don't want the American people to know there is a secret subversive agenda put forward by the elite, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Go right ahead.
You know, it's quite interesting, Dr. Stan. What Mr. Tom Fowler calls the elite, I use the word elite, he calls them, he uses another expression for the elite, but he's talking of the exact same people. The powers that be, I think, is the ones he used. I had a very unique experience that you'll hear Mr. Tom Fowler talk about some very similar things to this. By the way, please, folks, after you hear his presentation and his testimony, it is so amazing to listen to a man who was there actually on Wall Street and heard it. He was talking about the fact how that one day, back in about many years ago when he was first on Wall Street, he heard the word derivative for the first time. He had never heard it before. And he was told that they were supposed to sell these things. And then only a few days later, one of the powers that be, as he calls them, I call them the elite, actually sent him a letter saying, Tom, don't tell the people what these things are. actually, you'll hear him say this on the DVD, The Secrets of the Elite, that we just produced. And he said, don't tell them what they are. And he sold them for a number of years until he found out what they were himself. And it really frightened him because of the corruption that he was seeing in Wall Street. And whenever you hear him talk about how that they finally told him, that, oh, this is so important. They finally told Mr. Fowler, as my friends have told me recently, they actually said, these are going to be used as the method of bringing the world's financial system down. He knew this way back in 1980. So, Dr. Stan, these things have been secrets of the elite for all of these years, and that's the reason that we named our new DVD presentation that was just done a week and a half ago, Secrets of the Elite. And, Dr. Stan, I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you tonight, be able to inform the people of the very latest of what my latest friends have given me.
And, of course, what we've been trying to get our listeners to understand is there is a plan to destroy the financial structure of this nation. Our enemy is not in Moscow or Beijing or are hiding in a cave in Pakistan. Our enemy is in New York City, in Washington, D.C. These are the people who would destroy America to further their cause and goal, Agenda 21. Lindsay, you got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Dr. Stan, I would urge people, if they will, I had a very unique experience back in 1980. My book, Energy Non-Crisis, was written. And at the time, it became a bestseller in about a year's time. And all over this nation, people asked me to come and speak. In 1984, I had a group contacted me and said, Chaplain, we would like you to come out to the Bahamas to one of our seminars. We teach seminars on the lifestyle and the methods of the elite. I went out to one of their seminars at their guest. They paid all my expenses, airfare and everything, to this beautiful resort in the Bahamas, private beach, where the elite played. I was amazed. They train the young elite. They train every congressman. Before the as soon as a new congressman gets in, they tell them these things. They have secrets. Now, I have withheld much of this for all of these years until Mr. Fromm passed away, until my other latest friend was in his 70s, and now I feel free to tell it. And I have never told. How do the elite manage all of this? Where do they put their earnings? Where do they hide them? What is it that congressmen know? Have you ever wondered why a person can go into Congress as a middle-class congressman, and 4 or 5 terms later, they come out multimillionaires? Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered what it is that federal judges know that they never tell the average individual out here on the street, and what some lawyers know? Well, I've told every bit of it in my latest DVD presentation, Secrets of the Elite, because I decided it was time to tell what the elite do in hiding their. If you're a super wealthy elite, you take your funds to Liechtenstein. If you have a little less in the way of billions, you take it to the Isle of Man. If you have a little less than that, you take it to the Cayman Islands. If a little less than that, you take it to Belize or the Turks and Caicos. Whenever you realize how these people can control the elite through trading, inside trading, when a person goes to Congress, the first thing they tell them is how to make money with inside trading and how to hide it. And from that point on, the older congressmen have them right under their wing. Whenever they want a bill voted on, like the health care bill, they just merely come and say, you remember when we helped you make that $500,000 here a few weeks ago and that $1 million on this stock and that because you bought it and sold it? Now, we need your vote in the health care reform. And they get it, because it is outright bribery what's taking place in Congress. And you'll hear one of the people on this news series.
We're going to have to let you go. We're out of time, Lindsay. Dr. Stan Lindsay simply been explaining how they're able to bribe the congressman and how there's all sorts of insider trading. Do you realize, of course, it's illegal if somebody gives you inside information what's going to happen to a stock? But, of course, it's perfectly all right for the congressman to learn what's going to happen from the various hearings that they have and to go ahead and make stock investments, or suddenly congressmen are allowed to invest in IPOs. These are independent private offerings before the stock goes public. And certainly Tom Foley was allowed to invest in 30 of those. 29 of them, he made fabulous sums of money. He lost money in one of them. Suddenly, Hillary Clinton was allowed to play the options market, the commodity market, with Tyson on the other side. She made $100,000 within a month. And to honestly believe that that was legitimate? No, that's the way they bribed the Clintons and the Tom Foleys and all the others. And when was the last time anyone went to jail for doing that sort of thing? Once in a while, they'll certainly target somebody. But he's not a major player. Lyndon Johnson had to borrow money to get to Congress when he was elected, certainly in the 1940s. When he left Congress, he was the richest man in Texas. That's how the game is really played, ladies and gentlemen. That's how the game is played. Lindsay, good night. God bless. And this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. We need your help. We don't have people with a lot of money. We have a few generous donors who help us, and we have some few advertisers. But we still, of course, have to raise a great deal of money every single month to buy the radio time, but we have a voice. And when you join the Radio Liberty family or when you advertise with us, why, you are helping us. We hope very soon to have a full contingent of advertisers. And at that point, why, of course, hopefully we'll be able to begin adding additional stations. Right now, we've even had to consider dropping a few stations. But at least with your help, we hope to hold our own. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you can't help materially or financially, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, because we recognize that this is a spiritual battle being played on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the dark secret and the forbidden secret of this, as you go with that, so you can make sure I'm telling you the truth. We have a brand new DVD called The Dangerous Deception. It's an interview I did in 1980 with Norman Dodd, who is the director of research for the Reese Committee, the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and what he found, what Norman Dodd found, is fascinating. The tape also has about 45 minutes of a dissertation, my dissertation, as I tell you what I've learned during the last 50 years, so that you can pick up when I'm not here and get this information out. Certainly we have a DVD of an interview I did with General Lew Walt. General Lew Walt was a four-star Marine general. He was assistant commandant of the Marine Corps. And he talks about the elite who run the world. That's the General Lew Walt interview. It's available on DVD. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our new DVD with Ross and Peterson. Certainly it's called Geoengineering, how they're poisoning our water, they're poisoning our air, they're poisoning our food, and they know exactly what they're doing. And they're poisoning our children, ladies and gentlemen. They're poisoning our children. If you haven't heard my talk on a planned population reduction or Nundare genocide, you should get them. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and John Loeffler, and certainly pray for Congressman Ron Paul and his family, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. Let us breathe. Let us fall. Bill, are you there?
I'm right here.
Go right ahead.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. And, of course, we wanted to talk tonight about the President of the United States. Mr. Obama is coming and surfacing in so many bizarre stories all at one time. And, of course, the most shocking one is the one about his taking control of all the branches of government of the United States under the guise of some sort of a crisis to take over everything from travel to food to agriculture. This was all being covered by Alex Jones. And, of course, what is the reason for this unless there is some big event planned or coming? Because the authority and the power in the federal government is already beyond what the Constitution prescribes. So what is this all about, and why would they be doing it right before an election?
Well, Bill, but of course it's been said that this power has been there for a long time. So it was there under Clinton. It was there under Bush. This recent executive order that Barack Obama signed was simply a window dressing, a cleaning up a few defects in this previous executive order, which is the ground, the foundation of the establishment of a dictatorship in America, if anybody reads it. Why are they doing this? This is not the function of the federal government to prepare for a problem. It's the function of the state governments to provide for the people, not for the federal government. Our guest is Bill Sardi. And we have to ask ourselves, number one, why has the federal government taken unto itself this power? Why did Obama go along with this? And why isn't there an outcry from our congressman? Go right ahead, Bill.
Of course, one of the things we're just so puzzled about, living in a so-called democracy and a republic where, that is, our representatives do our voting for us, and yet we see these executive orders that usurp everything that we were taught in school, an executive order from the President of the United States. And this goes on and on. This is what we're talking about tonight, an executive order from the presidency with the power to control everything from the Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Health, Transportation, Defense, Commerce, all of these things that are not to be used, some of them, within the borders of the United States, such as the Secretary of Defense and so on. And they're mobilizing. The president would have the ability to mobilize all these and control them all. The exits, the entrance, everything that we would possibly do to even escape from such a thing would be blocked. We wouldn't be able to get food and so on. Why would a president need those kinds of powers? What kind of a possible emergency would affect the entire country from one end to the other like that? And, you know, we have the National Guard and we have all the states, and these are all divided up by the states, so that California and so on, each state can call out the National Guard when there's a flood or some kind of a difficulty, even riots, which were here in Los Angeles. And if you remember, there were Watts riots that were beginning to spread across the country. But again, all of those were taken care of by local resources, and nobody stepped in from the federal government. So why would we even need this kind of a thing is the puzzling thing. And, of course, I think Americans want to know, why do executive orders usurp the Constitution, the voting of the people, and why doesn't Congress step in and say, let's abolish all this? I can remember in the last few weeks reading Gary North, who was a speechwriter at one time for Ron Paul in his early days in Congress. And Gary North wrote a acceptance speech as if Ron Paul was going to win the presidential election in 2012 and step to the podium in Washington, D.C. with that big crowd we're used to seeing every 4 years and put his arms on the podium. And the very first words he was going to say was not something like, ladies and gentlemen, this is a great time in American history. None of that rhetoric. He was simply going to, Gary North was going to have the words put in Ron Paul's mouth, I hereby declare all prior, I think it's 175, something like that, executive orders null and void. And of course,
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. And this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi. And Bill is simply talking about the executive orders, which drastically expand the power of the presidency. One of them signed recently, which is certainly reiterates executive orders signed by Bush and by Clinton before him, which give the president dictatorial power over everything in America in case a national emergency is declared. They will control food. They will control water. They will control travel. They will control medication. They will control what you do in your home. Why in heaven's name would the federal government want to do that? These are functions of the state and the local government. They're not functions of the federal government. We saw the horrible things they did there. When they had the hurricane, I think it was Katrina down there in New Orleans, and they went door to door collecting guns and forcing people, you know, at muzzle point out of their homes, dragging them out of their homes. There was no reason for it. Federal government was doing that. They were blocking efforts from surrounding areas to bring in aid. People died there on the roofs of buildings because the federal government would not allow people with motorboats to go into the city to rescue them. And the federal government absolutely refused to send in supplies. They had them. If you haven't read the book written by the mayor at that time, he points out there were plenty of supplies. The government had the supplies, and they would not bring them in. And they simply allowed people to die in that city because of their intervention in something they never should have intervened in. So why would we want the federal government to be intervening across America? If we have a problem, it should be taken care of at the state and local level. That's why we have a National Guard. And that's why, and that's where the responsibility should lie. Go right ahead, Bill.
Well, Alex Jones, Dr. Stan, is making us all aware that the wording of this new version of this executive order, Bill Clinton had one in 1994, but the new version has the words, under both emergency and non-emergency conditions. Now, why would they add that? In other words, under a non-emergent condition, the president can seize totalitarian control of the whole economy, nationalize everything, and as Alex Jones points out, we're really already under a state of martial law. After all, under this National Defense Authorization Act, they can abduct Americans and imprison them without trial. Does that sound like country you and I grew up in? We have already an executive order, a branch claiming they can have the power to assassinate Americans overseas for any reason. No legal process whatsoever. We have checkpoints with goons running these things, militarized forces across the country for no reason, just by random. We have the Pentagon claiming it doesn't even have to check with Congress to run a war overseas. And we have the Department of Defense characterizing protest as low-level terrorism. So if we protest against the government, we can be thrown in jail. I thought that was, well, job one in the Constitution. So, you know, what do we have going on here, and why are these things usurping the Constitution? And, of course, when a man takes the oath as the president to uphold the Constitution, then what are the consequences of someone ignoring it, all the way down to that police officer in New Orleans who took the guns away? Why wasn't he prosecuted under constitutional law? Why didn't those things occur? So we have the right to bear arms. So we live in a lawless land. The Constitution is ignored, and the people remain passive and don't know what to think of it. And we certainly have a great deal of percentage of the population that goes along with all this. And I think, for one thing, that we can talk in the negative about Mr. Obama. We can say all these things tonight. But one of the things that grips me is that we're just talking to ourselves. You see, the unions are generally on the side of the president, and a lot of government employees are. They're certainly not going to vote for a Ron Paul who wants to get rid of whole branches of government. And so we have a minority group, African Americans, and they certainly, we understand that they feel this is their hope, a man in the office, and so they would vote for Mr. Obama. So unless we reach those people, and we're just talking to ourselves and just embittering ourselves more, what kind of convincing can we do other than the government's being taken away?
Well, I think the other thing is we forget that most elderly people want Social Security. After all, they paid into it. They think they're entitled to it. Most elderly people want Medicare. I mean, private health care insurance would be prohibitively expensive because the government has driven up intentionally, maliciously, purposely the cost of medical care to the point where even wealthy Americans would find it very difficult to pay for hospitalization at $15,000 a night. Totally irresponsible, but the hospitals are put into a position where they have to charge that to get maybe $1,000 or $2,000 a night, and then they're required by law to bill their private patients these exorbitant fees. Of course, you can always go down and complain, they'll drop them down, but people don't understand this whole system is designed to fail. But it is also designed to force people to continue in these socialist programs. And certainly the people who should be certainly valuing freedom the most, the elderly, certainly have become so used to this wonderful utopian society, they're not concerned that the government is spending 43 cents out of every dollar that the government spends has to be borrowed, because, of course, most of the elderly will be gone before the whole system collapses. And so, basically, over half the people in America today are getting some sort of government check. Go right ahead.
Well, we see the implications of things that we're now reading in the news media, whether they're true or not. It's the implications of them that are important to me. As I read that this Sheriff Arpaio, now this is the fellow that's in Maricopa County, Arizona, and he conducted his own investigation into the Obama birth certificate forgery and so on, and he claims to have run with investigative help. A big team about the long-form birth certificate was manufactured electronically, and he goes through this online. This story has been running in the Chicago Tribune, other well-known papers. The question is, why are we seeing this 5 years after a man is elected? He ran for office, obviously, for 1 year and 4 years in office here. Why are we seeing this kind of an investigation like this? What does it mean that the news media plays dead, that our own intelligence services and the government are foolish and never look into these kind of things? Why were there 8 different attempts to get rid of the natural birth requirement to run for president before Mr. Obama was running for election? Why? Why did that occur prior to him running for president? You see, they knew they were going to run this man, and this is what was going to happen. And, of course, now this Sheriff Arpaio has collected another piece of evidence, and that is he's gone, I believe it's the Chicago area, and he went to the parents. He went to a man. Let's see, his name is Alan Holton, 39 years working for the post office, and he happened to deliver the mail to the home of Bill Ayers and his wife, who the parents of Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers was a former Weather Underground terrorist in the 1960s. I think if you remember the name a little bit. And they lived in Chicago, Tom and Mary Ayers, and they are the people that raised Barack Obama and took care of him here in the United States. And they would frequently talk about him to their postal man, delivery man, Alan Holton. So for 39 years, he was doing this and going by and talking to Mary Ayers on his route, and they were talking enthusiastically about their support for a black foreign student and so on and so on and so on. And did you hear the word foreign in there? You see, what this sheriff is uncovering is something that a good investigative journalist should have uncovered a long time ago. Now, you have a right to say these people are issuing propaganda, they have an agenda, they're in the other political party's side, whatever might come to anybody's mind. But I don't hear any of that here. And these people have signed an affidavit and saying that they honestly know that Barack Obama was here and being taken care of by a family, the same family parents of a Weather Underground terrorist, Bill Ayers, and that he was referred to as a foreign student at the time. Now, you know, these things keep adding up, and the question is, why does the news media give this president a pass? Are they frightened? What is it? And Sheriff Arpaio is showing the genuine birth certificate has many overlays on it, and I think you know what bank paper looks like, what check paper looks like. It has a little pattern to it in the background, and he's showing pretty convincingly that that pattern was actually added after they created the document. So these are just kind of interesting parts of a whole fabric of things we're just confronted with all at one time. And, of course, you've got to wonder about your own government and whether it checks into these things. You know, when Mr. Obama, there's a lot of failed promises here with the president, of course, and maybe one of the bigger ones that just came to light was when he campaigned in 2008, he told people across the country that if he was elected president, he would enact a windfall profits tax on the oil and gas industry. He said the money would be used to help people pay their energy.
Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Bill. You were talking about the windfall profits tax.
Well, the windfall profits tax was promised by Mr. Obama. And, of course, people that are, you know, rubbing nickels together and having trouble paying the heating bill and the gasoline and the car and those kind of things. And he said that he would announce the policy during the campaign because oil prices were above $80 a barrel. Well, where are they today? Of course, they're above $100 at the moment. Why didn't he call in the windfall profits tax? Now, we don't like intervention by government and private enterprise like this. We think there are other forces that can be played here, but nonetheless, the president said he would step in. This was his promise. If you elect me, he will go against the big oil companies. And, of course, did you even hear about the windfall profits tax? It's a little obscure journalist in the Huffington Post talking about this and saying, what happened? Where did it go? So, I mean, $5 gasoline is where we're headed, and the president does nothing? Now, I don't care what political party you were in, whether it was John F. Kennedy or Dwight D. Eisenhower, they would have taken some kind of action. Now, we don't like government taking reins like that and doing. But if they have to, does anybody understand that Dwight Eisenhower landed paratroops? Do you remember any of this in Egypt? I mean, he took action when he had to, but We don't like to think of those things, and we don't like to think of government having to do those things without declaring war and so on. But there were moments when each of the presidents have done these things. The question is, Mr. Obama seems kind of selective in what he's doing, and he made a lot of promises, and then he's just backed away. And I think a lot of people on the liberal side, or what we might call the left side of thinking politically, are disappointed. And this is why Ron Paul gets a lot of votes, because Mr. Obama, like President Bush, when he first came into office, said, well, we're going to go against war. We're going to pull back out of Afghanistan. We're going to pull back out of Iraq and all those things. And yet we really haven't seen that happen. And now it's got to the point where this massacre occurs in Afghanistan. And it appears that our troops, more than one man, do these kinds of, they're at night, they're doing these maneuvers in Afghanistan, and this is just a regular thing that occurs. And of course, our troops are involved in it, and it's rather embarrassing, let alone terrifying, to think of that our own troops trained to do these kind of things on a regular basis.
Well, I think it's very important for people to understand that the Afghan government has investigated this recent massacre, which we are told was carried out by one soldier with post-traumatic stress who may have been drinking. According to the Afghan government, with their investigation, because they want to be able to testify, and they want to be able to question this soldier, because they have people who were there who said that there were as many as 20 American soldiers involved in this massacre. It was not one community, it was several communities. How did he manage to do this? Why are the American people not being told? You can find this on the internet. You'll not see any mention of this in the mainline media. The Afghans have said this was not the action of a deranged soldier who has now been flown to Fort Leavenworth and put in isolation. It was a concerted act on the part of a number of surgeons, of people. Could that be true? We'll be right back.
Well, this officer in the military there apparently was drunk and says he can't even remember the thing, so it's either just the scapegoat for the whole thing as it unfolds over there. There were some women raped and so on. It doesn't sound like any kind of a maneuver one man could have pulled off. And apparently these are nightly raids that are conducted there by the military, and this is what they do. War is dirty. War is ugly. We went there under the guise of trying to clean up Afghanistan, the drug industry there, which we actually manage today. We're there just to protect it. And Americans have no idea that their own country unofficially runs the biggest war, pretend war against drugs, which is really running drugs, and into the United States. And where do they get them from? Places like Afghanistan, and it comes into Mexico. A great little hidden part of the financial collapse of 2008, when, of course, all the banks went insolvent, was that they were lacking liquidity. They didn't have cash. And where would a nation go when there's not enough cash? And I think all of you can probably dig up in your mind pictures of roomfuls of cash every time we capture some fellas that are running drugs in Mexico or somewhere. There's whole roomfuls of U.S. dollar bills. Well, that's where we went, and it was Wells Fargo bought and purchased Wachovia Bank, and Wachovia was money laundering some of the drug money from Mexico into the United States to provide liquidity to American banks, and then some attorney general said he was going to investigate all this with Wachovia, and then what happened is the money supply got cut off by the Mexico drug cartel, and that is what brought down the American banks. You can read about it all online, and the whole sequence of things. A lot of these facts are just pretty clear. Even Wells Fargo admitted Wachovia Bank was laundering money from the drug cartels. Of course, you mean to tell me the FBI and all the other branches of security in our nation didn't know a thing about this? Large roomful sizes of money being brought in through into American banks this way? I mean, it's just implausible. So it means that our government knows this. And people tell you that we have soldiers that go to Afghanistan and they're shocked to learn that our country is protecting the poppy fields and the drug development there. And, of course, some of them want to write home and say something about it. The next day they're found shot. So how can we grab back this government that got away from us, that gets away with so much, this state of lawlessness, while it lives behind a Judeo-Christian idea, a heritage? It lives behind the skirts of the Constitution, and it wears all this as if it's a nation under law, when it's a nation that is ignoring law, and we become lawless. And, it's amazing that Americans are fooled. But as I say, when we look at an election, most people vote against, they don't vote for anybody. They're fearful of the other guy. They're fearful that a rich man like Romney would get in, or Ron Paul, or who's not really a rich man, but he would get in for other reasons. People who don't care for the poor are not going to look out for my interests. I'm going to vote against him by voting for the other fellow. So there's a lot of folks that don't necessarily vote for Mr. Obama. They just vote against who's coming, the Republicans, the people that represent big business and so on. And of course, the Republicans live up to that description oftentimes. And so we have a country where there's only the appearance of difference, because both of them are behind these wars. There's no real difference once they get in office. And I don't know whether Americans realize this, but the Congressional Budget Office has tipped this all off, that right after the next election, regardless of who's elected, we're going to have draconian taxes. And we only collect $2.4 trillion in taxes and spend $3.9 trillion, we have to borrow that extra $1.5 trillion. That's going to be cut down to $500 billion all in 1 year by adding $1 trillion of taxes to America. And then it's going to be further cut until 2014. It's down to about $200 or $300 billion instead of $1.5 trillion. They're going to try to strangle the economy by increasing the taxes, particularly on upper income groups. But as I've said, if you tax the upper income groups, we don't have a country like we had back when John F. Kennedy was president, where we had manufacturing. We have largely a 70% consumer economy. And who's driving the consumer economy but wealthy people?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, grateful for a land so fair.
right.
Nope.
Here, our guest this evening is Bill Sawney. We're simply talking about the things that are going on today, and simply the fact that we have a situation in America where we are going to have much higher taxes starting next year. You could not continue spending so much more than you're taking in. We're taking in $2.3 trillion a year, and we're spending $3.9 trillion a year. We're going to have to dramatically increase his taxes certainly next year. They're not going to let people know that yet, but of course you raise the taxes that high, much higher, why of course you destroy the economic foundation of our country when your government is struggling to get the economy going. What you want to do is lower interest rates, increase lending, lower taxes so people will spend. And we're going to do exactly the opposite. And this is going, I fear, going to plunge us into a terrible, terrible economic crisis. And of course, the only solution to that is massive printing of money. And that will be highly inflationary and will eventually lead to the destruction of the economic foundation of our currency and the destruction of our monetary system. Bill Sawney, you can go right ahead.
I have a surprise for your audience, which is a wild card that the United States could play. It's talked about on the Internet. Before I talk about the wild card, and by the way, we've accumulated debt. In other words, we rack up $1.5 trillion more than we spend, and we borrow from China and Japan and England and other places. So we have this giant credit card debt racking up, and the accumulated debt is now standing at $16 trillion. Remember, we run an economy that's about $14 trillion a year. So how would we ever even pay back that $16 trillion? Seems so impossible. I'm going to tell you how we might do it in one single swoop. But before we get there, I just wanted to reemphasize that these taxes, of course, we've got a president creating, let's tax the rich. These people are too rich. It turns out that the rich aren't getting richer. We just got new rich people. The people that were wealthy are about the same where they are. We just have more people being added to it, which is, of course, what America is all about. And if you don't have rich people, why live here? That's the hope that everyone someday could get rich, have a chance at it. And so we don't want to demean the 1%. I've said maybe we ought to have the 1% have their own little movement instead of the 99%, because they're the one paying all the taxes. But what happens here is if you tax the rich, and so their upper tax bracket is 35%, would go up to 39.6. That's just enough. The rich are fueling the consumer economy, and it would collapse. That's 70% of our economy.
Well, not only that, but because you not only have the federal taxes, then you have your state taxes on top of that. Then you have your sales taxes on
top of
that.
Well, they want capital gains to go from 15 to 30%. Now, a lot of us don't even know what capital gains are. We would never have a chance to even be in that. That's when you invest in something and there's gains for your capital investment, and you're taxed at a lower rate for that. That's what they're criticizing Mr. Romney about. He lives off of that. He's retired a lot of retirees live off capital gains. And why is there a lower tax rate? In other words, Mr. Romney criticizes his tax rate's lower than his secretary's, which is 20-some percent, and his is only 15.
No, that is not Mr. Romney. That's Warren Buffett's.
Or Warren Buffett,
right.
Too, both of them.
Right.
The point is that you encourage investment by having a lower tax rate. If you take the capital gains up to 30%, nobody will invest. It'll backfire, as will the increased top bracket tax on the rich. They don't spend it. They don't have it to spend. The government will have all the money. Well, guess what? Government won't have the money. People won't have it. And therefore, you'll collapse the consumer economy and you'll backfire on investments, and the country will commit suicide.
Well, basically, this is what's happened in England. I don't know if you're, I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that they have actually increased the taxes over there on the wealthy to over 50%. The taxes in England on the wealthy are over 50% with the idea they were going to get a lot more money. Instead of getting more money in, they got much less money in.
That's right.
Because the rich just would not invest. They would not close out. They would not sell their stocks. They would not work. Why work when you're going to have to put out 50% of your taxes? So actually, when you raise the taxes, you get less money. And yet that's what the socialists always have. Oh, let's tax the rich so we get more money. No, if you tax the rich, you get less money.
That's right. Now, Dr. Stan, you talked about lowering interest rates, and in general, that would be true under most scenarios, but make money more available so people can borrow it cheaply and grow their little businesses and then regrow America out of its funk. And, of course, the problem there is that money is already too cheap, and that's what fueled a bubble, a housing bubble and an economic bubble. And so money is free. Coming from the Federal Reserve, the central bank, to the little banks, it's zero, almost nothing, I think 0.25% interest. And so what's happening here is the banks are then lending at 4%, like on a home loan, the amount of money they're offering you on your saved money, your savings accounts, is less than 1%. So now we're in this precarious situation where we need to raise the interest rate, the basic interest rate from the Federal Reserve, so that the interest rate that we receive on our interest-bearing savings accounts goes back up to a normal rate of, let's say, 4 or 5%. And if it doesn't, with the real rate of inflation being 7 to 10%, this comes from John Williams at ShadowStat, savers are just getting destroyed. And so there's $8.5 trillion of interest-bearing accounts in America, and they'll be worth about half as much in the next 5 years if we don't do something. They're losing money. They're gaining less than 1% interest and losing 7 to 10% in inflation. And everybody knows this. Walk into a grocery store or go to the filling station. You'll see everything's costing a fortune. I had a little bag of groceries the other night, and it was $70-some. I usually don't go grocery shopping, but there I was. I got $70. How do you get $70 of anything in one grocery bag? So this is what's happening. And, of course, we're destroying the savings class. And that's the middle class, and they'll be destroyed. This is what Ron Paul was making us aware of. Well, what's the wild card I'm going to bring to your audience tonight? Do we all remember when we went to the war in Iran? We said that we would fund that war without it costing us a dime. Do we remember that? And do you know what the United States did when it went there? It supported the dinar, the Iraqi dinar, D-I-N-A-R. That's the name of their dollar, their money. And we bought $4 trillion worth, $4 trillion dinar, not dollars, in order to support their currency as we moved in and made war and then had the reparations and things afterwards. And we made a statement that that war wouldn't cost us anything. What do we still own? 4 trillion dinar. Well, there's word on the internet that the Iraqi government is going to revalue that currency. That today it's worth about 1,175 dinars to $1, that before the war it was trading more like 1 to 1, to the U.S. dollar or 3-1. That's a lot different than 1 to 1,175, which is the current rate. Well, if Iraq's back in business and it's pumping out its $40 billion of oil a year, we've made some sort of arrangement that we would buy oil at $20 a barrel, their cost, and we would buy it in dinars. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got $4 trillion of them. And if the Iraqi dinar gets either revalued or we just buy their oil at $20 a barrel, ladies and gentlemen, how much money would we make? Trillions. Trillions. We could pay for the entire United States $16 trillion debt in one swoop. Now, while you're all getting excited about this, let me tell you that what if this happens and we never hear about it and they keep taxing us? Have you ever thought of that? What happened to the money that they said that the Pentagon overpaid by trillions of dollars, and then that was the day before 9/11, and then all of a sudden it all disappeared? Nobody went after the money again? And what happened to the vast amount of money that they said was underneath the World Trade Center? They said there was a lot of money there. I mean, we're not talking just millions and billions, even hundreds of billions. Where did it go? Where does this money go? What would happen if those Iraqi dinars, we hold 4 trillion of, and they turned into trillions of dollars of U.S. money by virtue of us just simply buying the oil at their cost? Remember, oil today is above $80 a barrel, close to $100 a barrel. Ladies and gentlemen, we would become a filthy rich country, wouldn't we? Will they ever tell us? You never heard this before, did you? And how much other money do they hold off budget that we never see? You see, we only see the budget. We don't see the actual real amount of money. There's a lot of drug money running, which apparently the government knows, and that's off budget. Just the state of California itself, which claims that it needs a few more billion dollars to get through this year, it's early in the fiscal year, has $960 billion stashed in various bank accounts. You just go look at their comprehensive annual financial report. The state isn't broke. It has nearly $1 trillion. It's earmarked for various things, highways, roads, this thing, that thing. They can undo all that and go take that money and use it. They're begging their poor. They're crying their poor. And they've got nearly $1 trillion in the United, in the state of California. And so does every state and local municipality. The city I live in has $35 million stashed that the citizenry doesn't know about because all they see is the budget. The budget is the wish list. It's not the money that actually they have stashed. And every city and state has learned to hide this from the population, and so has the federal government. So how many trillions are they hiding while they keep raising the taxes? And don't we understand that $5 gasoline is a tax increase? It goes to Saudi Arabia to pay them the gasoline, that Saudi Arabians then buy our treasury bills, it's an IOU, to pay for our debt. You and I are paying a tax through gasoline because it's politically unsavory to, of course, raise taxes in the United States. So I hope you all understand we're getting totally conned, and we're being taxed outside the normal system in the United States. And this is what's going on. It's so covert, the people are completely hoodwinked and have no idea.
And because the thing is, there is no oil shortage. The Iranians have not closed the Straits of Hormuz, and yet, of course, the price of oil is going up all throughout the world. They're saying,
and there is no nuclear threat, according to various sources,
sure,
that this week that have all admitted to this. The Israeli Mossad admitted to others. There is none of this. But again, the price of oil is gouging us. And what does Mr. Obama do? What is the president? What would Dwight D. Eisenhower do? What would John F. Kennedy do? We may have liked or not liked these men. I'm just telling you, they would have done something. Nothing from the executive branch. We're paying. Why? Because he knows where this money's going. It's paying for us overspending. We're already paying for this.
Because my fear is, Bill, that they really do intend to go to war with Iran for no reason at all. You're absolutely right. The Iranians are not a nuclear threat. Even if they had a nuclear bomb, they wouldn't use it.
Well, we know during wartime you vote for incumbents.
Right.
People would be nervous. We know that things like this. And if Mr. Obama is threatened, he's going to pull off what? What did we talk about at the top of the hour? Some reason to declare martial law in the United States. Could it be that terrorists from Iran are here, imagined agent provocateurs, and blow up a few U.S. Postal boxes out on the corner and declare that the terrorists are here? I mean, it just is, the possibilities of panicking the American people are so easily done. So this is the kind of future we face as, you know, one man needs to get elected. How many will die? How many, what will happen? How many freedoms will be lost? What will really happen? And some of it's frightening. And as you said before, maybe none of this is going to happen. And they're just taking us through this frightening thing to, of course, put us in fear and subjugate us and make us afraid to say anything or do anything. So is this the America we grew up in? I think of teachers in school now. They're still teaching the balance of our government and the three branches. None of this actually exists anymore. So what you have is fascism. Industry pays off the government. The government mandates on behalf of industry, let's say, that everybody needs to get vaccinated in school, and that's it. There's no marketing costs, no advertising. No need for the vaccines. It's just government said, that's it, you need them or you can't get to school or whatever it is. So it's fascism. Today you have a hard time getting life insurance. They come, they do a physical on you. If your cholesterol's up, you need to go get a statin drug or they're not going to sell you your life insurance. Who put that in there? This is fascism. There's no choice. It's mandate. Your children have vaccines thrust at them when instead of they should be having vitamin D and so on. May they ignore the immune system, ignore ways to naturally boost it, and you have a vaccine deficiency or a drug deficiency. All disease in the United States is a drug deficiency. And so that's the way it's treated, and modern medicine goes along with it. So this is what we have today, a fascist state. We're socialized in the sense that the Obama car, the Chevy Volt, only 6,000 of them have been sold. They put all that money, billions of dollars, into General Motors, and they can't even sell this electric car. And so what does the government do? Come along and buy them for the military and for its own government fleets, and that's the only thing they're selling. Is that a car that's marketable? No. They have a $7,500 rebate or tax write-off on that Chevy Volt to help people buy them. Who buys them? The average person buying a Chevy Volt makes $175,000 a year. Is Mr. Obama on the side of the poor? No. He's on the side of the rich, but what's he up there? He's lambasting the rich and say they don't pay enough taxes.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Bill, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, it's not the country we grew up in. I'm afraid that we're so busy and self-indulgent we don't realize it. And, of course, we're having our Constitution usurped. I think it was George Bush who originally was saying, you know, that Constitution's just in the way. And, you know, without it, what do we have? It may not be the perfect document, but every country of the world emulates it. And George Washington and others gave their lives and dedicated their lives to that document. And now we see it being usurped every moment. And Well, we have a chance at the ballot box. It looks like the wrong person's going to get reelected. And what do we do about these things? Maybe we feel helpless. I don't know. But I know I've gone to everybody on my block to talk to them, ask them what their thoughts are, how they've changed from last election, and tried to put my two cents in and help them with their issues about how to make money and keep money in today's nasty world. And so you try to have influence on people that you live with. And of course, that's maybe all we can do. I do write, and hundreds and thousands of people read what I have to write about. So, by the way, in a couple of days, you're going to read something in Lou Rockwell about Mr. Bernanke, and the Federal Reserve, and you might want to take a look at that article, which is quite revealing. But I think it's important that we keep Radio Liberty on the air and that we continue to at least know that a bullet is headed towards us and what it is, the nature of it. At least maybe we can duck when it comes. We need to have knowledge. We need to be knowing what the other side is doing. Even the Bible says to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. So, to know what the evil people do, what their mechanisms, their methods, their MO is, and so their modus operandi. So it's important for us to see. Maybe there's a lot of sleight of hand. There obviously is in today's government. There's no transparency. And through the help of the internet and other things, some little light comes out. We like to investigate and determine whether they're for real or just propaganda. We don't like it to be used politically. We like to share real information here on the air so that people are aware of what is going on. And, of course, there should be outrage in our homes. We do like to go to sleep at night and know that we have God's protection. But at the same time, we do want to be aware of things going on. And we
hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's been Bill Sardi. And Bill is simply pleading with people to find out what's going on and speak out at this time. Certainly, freedom is lost when good people do nothing. Freedom is never free. And the price that people pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they're ruled by evil men. One last thought, Bill, and then we'll let you go.
Well, Radio Liberty is a shining star in my life. And, of course, without it, I feel I just don't have a compass. So I think for all of us, we want to make sure this program stays on the air, and I do thank God for it.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you with us. Great program tonight.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Bill Sardi, a friend, a personal friend, and a good supporter of Radio Liberty. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we would love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How do we understand what's going on in the world today? Well, we can talk about the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's important to understand the forces aligned against us. But even more important is to understand what has happened to the Christian faith and the teaching in our Christian churches. And this is why we're suggesting people get the book by our good friend Chuck Chrismeyer, who shares satellite time with us. The book is called The Secret of the Lord. And they've changed the music and the message of the Christian church. You need to get this book. You need to read it through. It will help you. And then you're going to have the courage to speak out to people about the spiritual battle that's going on and not be afraid, certainly, to talk to people about Christianity and learn how to lead them to the Lord. If you haven't seen Pastor Billy Crone's wonderful DVDs, he ends every one of them with a personal invitation to people to come into a personal relationship with our Lord. We carry his 10 DVD series, The Final Countdown. We carry his 10 DVD series on the fearful creation and the planned creation. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. They're actually each 10 DVD series, and every DVD ends with an appeal for people to come to the Lord. And you're going to have to not be afraid to speak about our Lord Jesus Christ to other people. I heard Erwin Lutzer the other morning giving a sermon on Dwight L. Moody. Of course, he's with the Moody Bible Institute. But he was saying that Dwight L. Moody every day tried to list one person to the Lord. And one evening, dark had fallen, and he hadn't led anybody to the Lord, so he went outside onto the streets of Chicago there, and he saw a man standing by a streetlight. And he said to him, "Sir, are you a Christian?" And the man said, "That's none of your business." And Moody said, "That is my business." And the man looked at him and said, "You must be Dwight L. Moody." And he testified to the man, and the man came to know the Lord. And perhaps if we would learn a little bit from what has happened, remember that we're talking about the period of the Civil War in the 1860s, and yet the influence of Dwight L. Moody, poorly educated, certainly a very, very poor speaker, and yet on fire for the Lord, the influence that he had on the lives of literally hundreds of thousands of people. Can never be minimized. He had a powerful influence on Chicago. At one time, when Dwight Moody was there, this was a moral city. It's no longer, it's an immoral city, and they lost the very foundation of their Christian faith because they do not have people out there speaking and leading people to the Lord, and that should be something each of us is doing and learning how to do. Let me suggest the DVDs by Pastor Billy Crone. I number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget the book, The Secret of the Lord. Our new DVDs on Sydney on the geoengineering and the desperate deception. But please, please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer,
you're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. We're talking to Bob Chapman today, getting a handle on what's happening. That's what we do here at the Power Hour, because it's not agenda radio here. Bob Chapman, the editor of probably the most respected newsletter out there by those in the know. Bob, give your email address, would you please, and how they can get a complimentary copy of the newsletter.
Bob, B-O-B, at I-N-T. FORECASTER.com. Bob at int,